Welcome to the Biz for Good show with your hosts, Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. The Biz for Good podcast is a fun and adventurous series that dives into the world of business, nonprofit, and startups, making a difference in the world for good. Get ready for another episode. Hey, cue that sick intro.
For good.
Welcome to episode 8. Today, Bobby and I will be sitting down with the visionary and creator of TribalReady.com, Jared Stewart, also founder and creator of Corporate Alliance and co-author of several books, The City of Influence and TribalReady, A Business Tale. We'll be discussing his roots and his vision. Get ready, folks, for a very educational and inspirational interview with Jared. Also, please go to iTunes or Stitcher where you can find us, and please give us a review and let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Welcome everybody out there listening. We know we got listeners now. We see it. We have the proof, right, Ryan?
Proof is in the pudding.
Proof is in the pudding. There are people actually listening to Biz for Good, and we're loving it. As usual today, we have what?
We have Jared Stewart.
An amazing guest, right? An amazing guest, because we have so many amazing guests. I'm Bobby Glenn James, your host, along with my co-host here, Ryan Pilkington. Thanks for being back, Ryan.
You bet. I missed you, I'm sorry.
You missed me from yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
Awesome. Well, instead of doing segments, we're going to just jump right in to interviewing Jared. So welcome, Jared, to Biz for Good show. Thanks for answering my LinkedIn. Hey, how you doing? Would you like to be on a crazy show that's about business doing good in the world?
Sure, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So we like to just jump right in and start talking to you and finding out what Jared Stewart is all about, what you've been doing, what you're doing now, and how do you connect with doing business in the world for good?
Well, that's an interesting question, because this journey pretty much started, I guess the best way to say it is, we're pretty mission-driven. We're pretty focused on changing the world. I would say that's our primary aim.
A little bitty thing like changing the world. That's your little focus. You're just kind of focused on that little piece.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people are iterative in their approach, meaning they're just simply trying to build a better mousetrap. And in our world, we're really trying to be more evolutionary, where we're not building a better mousetrap. We're actually building a better way to catch mice, a different way. And I think lots of times, I read something a while ago where Jeff Bezos over at Amazon was just talking about, the analysts were trying to ask a bunch of questions and about something that he was building. And he said, well, it's new. And they said, well, describe it to us. He's like, well, no, I can't. It's new. That's the definition of new, is that you probably won't understand it until it actually unfolds before your eyes. And I think that's been my experience too, is that with what we're building, people kind of get glimpses and try to kind of understand what we're doing, but overall there's a little level of confusion. But I think that's starting to change.
I think they call that a visionary.
Yeah,
right? You're a visionary. You see a vision of what you want, what you see, just like Steve Jobs did when he saw the GUI and he said, "Oh my gosh, that is the future of computers." And Xerox thought it was just a baby toy for kids.
Sure,
you have to be that kind of visionary to see between the lines, to see what other people are not seeing. So that's awesome. Cool. Yeah. So how did Jared start out? Where have you been? What's your blazing trails?
I'm the fifth of 11 children. So I've come from a big family.
Whoa. That's big.
Children. So
my mom's third of 18. So we got you big.
Wow. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to one-up you.
No. I felt bad for...
I still haven't heard 18. Yeah, I still haven't been beat.
Yeah, I felt bad for my mom, but I feel terrible for yours.
My mom is one of the 18. That's my grandma.
Oh, got it.
One set of twins.
Wow, that's amazing. So, grew up, I was born in Portland, moved out here pretty young, and so I spent most of my years here in Utah. And I was pretty entrepreneurial. I started a couple of businesses before I was in my mid-20s. And then I started a company called Corporate Alliance in 2000. And we grew that into, you know, one of the largest relationship companies. People typically want to call it a networking organization. I really kind of shy away from that language. Typically, networking implies...
selling people stuff.
It's more transactional.
Right.
It's more about tit for tat, and about, we almost treat each other like human ATM machines. Mm-hmm. And it's more about
instead of the relationships that you're building.
Yeah, real relationships. And so I've been in sales for quite a, you know, for, I mean, it's pretty young, but sales was kind of my thing, and I was building all these, I wouldn't call them relationships, I was trying to get all these transactions because you need to feed your family. But at the end of the day, it was really less than satisfying. And I'm like, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. So I started to read every book I could possibly get my hands on that was around the topic. There wasn't a lot.
I bet you read Dale Carnegie.
Yep.
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great one. And
Think and Grow Rich.
Science of Getting Rich, Wallace Waddles. You remember that one way back in 1910?
Really, you're actually, if you're talking when Waddles, and you heard of Charles Haenel. Mm. Charles is actually the founder or the father of all of that self-help space.
Even before James Allen?
Yeah, I think he was before James Allen. So I'm not positive about James Allen, although I love that book too. So he was, when's James Allen?
1890.
So probably not, probably right after. So 1904. But I think James Allen was more...
He was just a philosopher.
Yeah, he's more Plato.
Yeah,
Where Charles Haenel with it's called the Master Key System. It was actually
okay. We got to take notes on that. I'm going to re-listen.
Yeah,
I thought I'd read all of the old classic business ones.
Oh, this is the classic.
Oh, what? Where have I been?
No, nobody knows about it. They actually say it's like some kind of like hidden secret. Like,
oh, we just whoa, brought out that's the how,
that's
secret.
How that's how Bill that's how th- there's a big theory that that's how Bill Gates made all of his money, and that's how everything happened. So
I love this.
I'm sure that's just
a little nugget for you people.
Yeah, but it's I will say that it's had a more profound impact on my every area of my life probably than any other book I've ever read. So he actually trained not Napoleon Hill, but was it Dale Carnegie?
Andrew Carnegie?
Anyway.
The big mogul?
I think it's Dale Carnegie. So it was kind of the father of that whole self-help mm-hmm. movement.
Yep.
So he was the one that actually, I think it was Dale that actually credited Haenel for being kind of his mentor.
Gotcha.
So, but Master Key really wasn't organized as a book originally. It was, I think, 12-month, 18-month correspondence course.
Oh,
so it just kind of, you know, arrived at your door every month, and you just read the correspondence course, and then he had you work on some stuff. But yeah, it's a gem. It's an amazing book. In fact, it's funny.
And I'm sure it's probably in the public domain now.
It
right?
is. Oh yeah, yeah. So actually, Wendell Waddles' recent, like, so I read Rhonda Byrne's book, The Secret, which I read, and I thought, you know, that's
sounds real familiar.
It sounds familiar.
It's been around for a while.
Well, and it didn't connect all the dots. I'm like, this. I felt like there was some truth to the law of attraction, everything they talk about in that book. But that there was, it was too simplistic in the way she was approaching it. And I listened to it a couple times. I'm like, there's still something here, but there's so much missing too.
Mm, yeah.
And
that's the big criticism of The Secret.
So I listened at the end, and then she cited her sources, which was Wendell Waddles and then Charles Haenel.
Yeah.
And that's how I got connected to that, or his original work. It's stunningly good. Yeah,
that's my next read for sure.
There we go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you'll like it a lot.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being on the show.
I was going to say normally I wouldn't say you're welcome, but that one's a good you're welcome. That one's actually a big deal.
Just here on the show, we're always learning. We're big fans. I mean, learning is wisdom too. I mean, we love to learn. And book reading, we have a leaders or readers. You can't really learn and grow as much if you don't read. I mean, all of the great biographies of people, they talk about that they were readers. They were voracious learners.
Yeah, just make sure you don't get the abridged version. You get the unabridged.
Okay.
There's a couple jokers that
tried to because it's public domain.
So yeah, they're like I was reading one of them and just like they were referencing VHSs and I'm like.
What?
It was written in 1904. So I'm like, how? So they tried to modernize it, and they just killed it. Yeah, don't read.
So probably the Gutenberg version.
Yes,
get the clean edition.
Yeah,
very good. Awesome. Well, cool. You got a question for Jared?
I do,
Ryan.
So after Corporate Alliance, you're now this new baby of you. How long is it? So basically, Tribory is your new thing. How long has it been going on? Or?
So we're probably, that's a good question, probably 3 years into Tribalry. So about three and a half years ago.
That's Tribalry.com, right?
Tribalry.com.
But there's a whole movement around it.
It's and if you also go to companytribes.com, that's another one of our URLs that focuses on our vertical into companies as well for the employee base.
Oh, interesting.
So... I can give you the
what is it?
I can give you the context. Yeah, so I was actually in I was in Salt Lake and I was meeting with a couple. This guy's actually a billionaire, but he's a really intelligent guy. I don't know if I should disclose who he was, but not that I meet with billionaires every day. But this is a random occurrence. Spent 2 or 3 hours with him, and at the end of the day, they were looking for companies that they thought they could help scale. So we're meeting here at the Corporate Alliance Hub. And at the end of it, he's just like, Jared, I would have, you know, so what you just showed me, because I showed him our model. He said, the problem I see is that Corporate Alliance is a car, and what you guys have codified the relationship process. You should build the engine. And I'm like, so we kind of started down that direction a little bit. So it was kind of our sell the mills moment where I'm like, from Jim Collins' book, but I'm just like, hey, let's go ahead and make this decision, and we're going to go ahead and build the engine as opposed to building the car, because we can power any community in the world if you can build the engine. Turns out, engines and cars aren't exactly the same things, and so the last 3 years have been a little more than I bargained
for.
Process.
It's about the you know, the great things are not built overnight.
Yeah,
and sometimes they take a lot of loss in fixing and breaking and fixing again.
Well, I think
it's the people that don't give up that make the difference.
That's actually the truth, and that's the. And there were some businesses that my first couple businesses that I gave up on, but it was because they weren't.
Your vision.
They didn't inspire me.
Yeah, their vision.
Like when you'll know it inspires you, and you're ready when you have the first and second and third sacrifice, and then you mortgage your home, and then you put everything on credit cards, and then you literally just roll the dice with your entire life. That's when you know.
This is your baby, and you're pretty passionate.
Yeah,
about
because
it.
You basically you burn the bridges behind you, and you really leave yourself no other option other than to succeed.
I tell you, looking at the cliff sometimes is the best motivator.
It's a freaky experience, and you get used to it. So at 17 years, we've probably never had more than a month worth of payroll in the bank. I mean, we should have been dead 1,000 times. So the truth is, if you, this is a lot of the hay-nail stuff too. If you're committed, then God or the universe or whatever you want to call that acts as your partner in crime here, and you won't fail. So I think they talk about 95% of businesses fail in the first 10 years or whatever. I think that's not true. I think 95% of the leaders of those organizations give up in the first 10 years.
I just got finished reading the book Shoe Dog. Have you heard of the book? It's Phil Knight.
I've heard from a couple people, the creator of
Nike. You should definitely read it. Write what you said. Halfway through that book, I'm like, how on earth did Nike ever exist? Mm-hmm. It should have failed over and over and over. It kept happening. You're like, he should have just given up and walked away. Yeah. But he didn't because he had such a passion for the shoe.
Yeah. Yep.
That when you find that passion, man, you will do what it takes. And that's what makes great companies, great leaders. It's people that follow that.
Sure, I agree. I do agree with you. I think
you get me excited. I'm sorry, Jared.
No, don't
apologize.
I'm excited.
It's actually our favorite quote. I can't remember who the quote's from, but the shortest distance between two people is a story. And so when you get contextually, when I started getting all these people together, Corporate Alliance, and we started breaking down all these barriers and building real relationships, we have this formula that we're trying to get them to what's called a level 4 relationship. or a level 3. Level 3 is just, level 1 is just I've had one positive interaction. A level 2 is I've had multiple positive interactions. Level 3 is we have what's called an established learn, serve, grow cycle, which means I'm aware of what's going on in your life and I'm aware of how to help you, and you're similarly aware of what my life looks like, and we're engaged in each other's lives. And then the level 4 is more where it starts to become I'm willing to not only be aware of you, but I'm willing to actually make sacrifices. And that's where
I've caught your vision. I get what you're doing, and I want to assist you in however I can. Yeah. Well, is that kind of four? Is that kind of four?
I thought that was a serious thing.
Well, it was a serious thing. Is that level 4?
Yes.
That's where you're at when you're at level 4. I love what you're doing, and I want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And that is me too.
And I can't make payroll next week, and I pick up the phone.
And I pay your payroll.
I don't want to call you. It might be uncomfortable for me, but we're close enough that I have that level of trust that we can have that conversation.
There's not many four levels.
No, there's actually not. Yeah, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's not always financial. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I need a ride at the airport. Mm-hmm. Like I can pick up the phone and I can call you. I can interrupt you. I can disrupt your life in a certain amount of ways, and it's okay.
Yeah.
And you're right. There's not that most people. Can count on a single hand the number of probably.
Yeah, I hate to bring up the Shoe Dog book, but man, you're like talking about it completely. In the very beginning, they were a route ready to go out, and Phil asked one of his buddies, "Hey, we're fixing to go out," and he got his parents to scrape up their last $8,000, and Phil's like, "Wow, are you sure? Why do you want to do this?" And they say, "Well, if you can't trust your son's boss, then who can you trust?" I mean, that's the kind of relationship that he had built. And you don't get that in the business world. The reason we do Biz for Good is because the business world, I think, gets a bad rap because there are a lot of people in high business that are really out there for the passion and the love of what they do, not to whoremonger money and all that good stuff. And I think that's this yuckiness. The business isn't really like that. When you do true business, it is about relationships and the connections you make, and that's how you grow.
And the why
you do it. Absolutely. Simon Sinek. We love Simon.
Yeah, I think we want to call it business, but in reality, it's just creation. Ooh. So we're just, and everybody has a desire to be a creator, and business is just a form that creative juices can take, right? So you can call it business, and you can be creative in other pursuits as well. But
an artist, yep, or a songwriter.
But in reality, a songwriter is a business person.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they have to figure out.
Poet.
Ask Dan Clark that. He's been a songwriter for a long time. Yeah. He's definitely a businessman.
Yeah, and they have to move. And sometimes business isn't about the transaction or the commerce itself. It's more about the experience. And so it's like, just because I don't sell my product doesn't mean I'm not creating one. And so every nonprofit is a business too.
Absolutely.
Every school really is a business, especially now with the changes in
education.
Absolutely. You're now living in a competitive marketplace.
I'm a big proponent of charter schools. I actually support a lot of charter schools with some of my IT stuff, and it is a business. Absolutely. I mean, those schools have to be run like a business.
Yeah. All it means to be run like a business is that the person consuming whatever it is that you're producing likes it.
Yeah.
You know, right? And that's, it doesn't matter what it is you're creating.
And they have a connection to it.
Yeah, and they have a connection to it and a passion for it. And sometimes that means massive amounts of sacrifice on the part of the people that are willing to actually build those organizations. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that a lot of the bravest people in the world are actually business people.
So all of this that we've been saying, connection, relationship, on and on here, is basically a package of tribalry.
Yeah.
I mean.
So basically tribalry is.
We're back. Way to go, Ryan.
Woo! Ryan's bringing us full circle. So back to that story. Basically, I said, okay, we're going to build the engine. And so tribalry in that moment was born. We didn't know what it was called at that time. We decided to use the vernacular of a tribe simply because if you look at the dictionary, tribe is just any group that shares a common culture or interest, a passion, usually has a designated leader.
Yeah.
And so tribes, tribes go back to the dawn of time.
Yeah.
The tribes of Israel
or not just American, Indian.
Nope.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah, I think in this, and especially in the U.S., it started to be associated with specific groups, Native Americans specifically, probably over time. Yeah. But yeah, the language has really has transformed back to maybe its original meaning, which is any community, a family is a tribe. A lot of the businesses here on the Wasatch Front, especially tech companies, now call themselves tribes. Nice. Seth Godin, I think, helped kind of mainstream some of that with his book Tribes, where he talked specifically about the structure of tribes and how they're organized. But yeah, I think that vernacular is, we love it because it's more familial. It's more around the fire and connecting and real rather than community sounds still kind of
cutesy.
And maybe
social media-y.
Yeah, maybe a little social still media-ish. Disconnected from each other too. Mm. Where a tribe implies that
it's used too much for sure. Yeah, community.
Those
community.
More of those level 3 and level 4 relationships.
Yeah.
When you're talking about your tribe, your people, it would feel more.
Yeah.
Lots of times we'll talk about that as in terms
the
of what's
people
called,
you protect, that you care, mm-hmm. that you care what happens to them.
Yes. They're part of your village and your tribe.
Tribe.
So yeah, it just feels very much more connected. So basically, we took the engine. It took us a long time to build that engine. And now the engine is built and constructed. And the way we've decided to go about this is, I mean, the book Tribes from Seth Godin basically talks that you have to, for us this to be successful or anything to be successful, it's all about the leader. And we've experienced that's the case. The tribe leader.
So many times.
Yeah, is the key.
That's what fails.
Yep. And he doesn't play a role of like dictator.
Nope.
He plays a role of
a visionary that is able to pick the right people.
Yeah.
Talking with Colin about Collins, right people on the bus in the right place. We hear that a lot, but it's because it's a mm-hmm. it's a true statement. When a visionary and a leader can understand where people go, their expertise in some ways, I think that's what Steve Jobs was a genius at. He was a genius at picking the right people.
Yeah, yeah he really was. Well, and he led, and he was willing to say, "Look, this is where we're headed," and not every culture is a cultural fit. If you look at the Think Different campaign,
mm-hmm.
everything was around culturally. When we teach people to build, instead of core values, to build tribe stories or tribe values, which basically is just storification. Like Think Different was not just Apple's mission statement or core value. It was it was their it was their core. And that's how you know if you've got a cultural norm is you just like you hire and fire based on that. If they're not a cultural fit, like Jim Collins has said, spits them out like a virus.
Mm-hmm.
But
they don't fit the culture; they don't last.
Yeah, I'm sure. If you get an Apple interview, especially when Jobs was there, it's like I'm gonna find out if you think different, and you're gonna have to prove it to me.
Yeah,
we don't hire like status quo people here. We hire outliers. We hire people that are on the bleeding edge, and there's a reason it's called the bleeding edge is because it's dangerous and people don't necessarily want to be there.
Yeah.
And so when you're talking about it in this framework, you just got to be really careful to not pretend that your culture is something other than it is. Everybody has a culture.
Whether you like it or not. And yeah. I tell everybody has a personal brand. Do you want to control that brand or you just want to willy-nilly throw your brand out there?
Yeah.
Because you have one.
Yep.
And your company has one. We meet in an entrepreneur group all the time, and that was our big push last week at the entrepreneur group. You are your brand. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Speaking of brand, I went on the website of Tribory,
mm-hmm.
and I really loved the website, kind of like getting the feel of the brand, and immediately I was like, how do I make a tribe?
Yeah,
and
so
what was more about us?
Like, what do we do? How do we get involved?
Yeah, so part of the challenge is, first of all, I'd love to have you guys join the Dream Big Tribe. That's one of my sister and I's personal passion projects that we do.
I'm up for anything that says Dream Big.
Yeah.
I'm all over that.
Just go to the site and click on Dream Big and join and you're in.
Okay.
So that'll give you a good feel for how the online piece works. But it's called the Fire Triangle. Our systems took us 17 years to perfect this process, but basically building a fire triangle, if you're building a tribe, it requires 3 components. You've got to have...
It's in the book.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't said that you have a book called Tribalry. I've read the book, and everything you're talking about, it specifically gets into it, and he goes to the different... Anyway,
yeah.
Sorry.
No.
I forgot. Hey, we haven't talked about the book.
Yeah,
if you really want to understand Tribalry, I don't, you know, I...
It's fine.
I've got digital. I did digital.
I do digital. That's fine. My only problem is we've called the 6 different things internally, so I hope I say it right. Connect. If it's wrong, if it's different in the book, I apologize. So the Tribe Fire basically is, we used to internally call it rules, pools, and tools, but it's culture tied into facilitated events, tied into tech. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so those three components together is actually what makes the fire triangle operate correctly. So you've got to figure out what the cultural norms are. Usually, I remember really...
Cultural norms of your business or of your tribe?
Your tribe. Every tribe has a culture too, just like a business would. And you've got to decide what your what the values and what the purpose of the tribe is. We have created a system that's basically a franchise-based system because basically we're building this huge superhighway. And we got to keep everybody in their lanes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're not like a Facebook or a meetup where... You could have 30 different meetups about the same space. In Utah, there will only be one wellness tribe. And that wellness tribe will be run and operated with specific with specific things in place. So, meaning that you need to follow the pattern. So I'd say we're more the Apple model than the Microsoft model.
Think different.
Yeah, so, yeah. Think different, but also, like, universal standards.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
you see where they so, Apple yeah, doesn't allow.
You're saying Microsoft's
Apple, Microsoft allows, especially if you look in the 80s and 90s.
Right, yeah, PCs and
you could build your own.
Your clones and all where that. Apple that's, had a, that's Facebook and LinkedIn and all the others.
Yeah, open network versus closed
network. Instagram,
yeah,
all that
open
stuff.
Network, closed network.
Right.
Ours is going to be more of a closed network, not just because I'm a Steve Jobs fan, but because it allows for more control. And control sounds bad, but
I'd say focus.
Yeah, focus, and just make sure, because we figured out what the formula is. If you keep messing with it, you're going to get different results, right? And so our experience is that it's better to get really dig into making sure that they are operating the franchise properly, and then the results for the tribe users, tribe members, are going to be like significantly better. It's not even going to be on the same planet. And so we just make sure they're following the recipe. And that we want to make sure that the people that are in those tribes are having a really unique and remarkable experience.
Gotcha. Awesome. Powerful.
Yeah, because you go to I don't want to meet up, but you're kind of lost sometimes. Like, you go, and then what do I do now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never know what you're going to get, too. Know what you're going to get. A lot of times you're going to get sold, too.
Yeah. Yep. So we just keep it really, we keep the standards really good. We built a beautiful facility in Orem. That's our first tribe house. It's about an 8,000 square foot facility.
Oh, wow.
In the University Mall. And so it's like an Apple store kind of feel. It's not an Apple store, but it's like we have a retail presence.
Yeah.
And then we'll have tribe after tribe physically going into that space and utilizing that space for their events. Our goal is to have one of those tribe houses within driving distance of every major U.S. metro. About 200 of them.
Wow.
So, because we believe that technology should be a supplement to the actual relationship.
Relationships, yeah.
Yeah, so we think the primary driver...
It should assist, not what it is.
Yep.
I can connect with people virtually, but what does it matter if I'm not there?
Yeah, connecting? I got 20,000 likes. What does that mean? Not much.
Seth Godin, if you look at good YouTube videos, he calls those fake relationships.
Mm.
It's just all fake. He's like, what does that mean? I have 10 million users. What does that really mean? It's just fake.
Yeah.
The real question is, can I show up at their door and can they put me up for the night if I needed it or whatever? So,
yeah.
And he has a lot of those relationships too, I'm sure. But we predictably manufacture those kind of relationships. I hate using that word, but it's actually true to a certain extent. Like the Dream Big Tribe. Like you go to the Dream Big Tribe and we'll make sure that by the time you leave, you got some really close new friends.
Nice. Do you have a physical meeting?
Uh-huh.
You guys meet physically?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, even better.
Yep.
Even
every better. Every tribe. In fact, that's our secret sauce, is that these events are being held consistently. So we're launching the Wellness Tribe right now, the HR Tribe right now. I know the Hunting Tribe's gone pretty large. We're just kind of getting all that stuff going right now. And there is still some learning that's going on as well on our side, but we're getting pretty close to having the thing nailed down.
Awesome. That is awesome. Well, we're excited to see. I'm excited to see the future.
Yeah, we'd love to
see
you down there.
Absolutely, we're there.
Is there an event date coming up soon?
Yeah, there's one in April. We skipped March just because we were so slammed.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to remember when that is, though.
We'll put it on.
And this
website.
Is for the Dream Big Tribe in
yeah,
April.
Dream Big in
That's
April.
The Dream Big. Okay,
mm-hmm. Come on down.
Oh, gosh, we got to go for Dream Big. Is it daytime usually? Nighttime?
Yeah, it's night. Mm-hmm.
Is it night?
Evening. We feed you. We don't charge anything. It's kind of like I said. It's kind of our give back.
You feed us. Oh, jeez. Yeah. I'm there again. Again. Anytime there's free food, I raise my hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. You got another question?
Just lastly, I want to thank you, actually, for this concept. I've been struggling with my company, Advocate Tees. It's about anti-bullying and apparel. Okay, cool. And I'm trying to find that niche and trying to find that movement. And I think understanding tribes and understanding community, and from what I've just recently dived into, it's been great to understand when you have a company, you need a community.
Who your community is, and
finding out who your community is. So just thanks for that.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
business
that.
Business owners, we think we know who we're out there to sell to. Yeah. Makeup people needs anybody with skin, but that's not true. You have your fans, the people that love what you're doing, that are excited about it, that want it. Yeah. That's so cool that you can create that kind of energy.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, ultimately at the end of the day, we call it business love, but it's actually just love.
Love it. Wisdom 8.
Yeah, so we just
love
it's for good.
Yeah. It's for good.
That's really that what is awesome. If you want to say that engine that we talked about earlier, It's a love engine. It's people because we just.
Gosh, that's cool.
Yeah, those three pieces. That's just what it produces. Because we just don't know each other. Again, the shortest distance between two people is a story, and a context. We just don't know each other. The only reason we don't love each other is because we don't know each other.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so I've learned that almost every single person I've ever had any meaningful interaction with is worth that interaction, and that it's really the part of life that makes all the other parts of life worth it.
Oh man. So. Absolutely. Cool. Well, we got to end on that.
Yeah,
because we can't do better than that.
Oh,
pretty darn good.
Thanks, guys.
Love. Keep it up.
Okay.
Thank you, Jared, so much.
My pleasure.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Biz for Good show series with Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. We want to thank our guests and all our fans of the show. Again, you can find us online at bizforgoodshow.com and on all our social platforms. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Have a great day, and remember, be good, do good.